Ran are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby. Teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and Pioneer local legend, maybe a nefarious character or a repeat offender on the city council. It can go either way real fast. Friday, it's all about Fairbanks, what we're going to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix that we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, in the studio with me, Jerry Clayworth, city council member. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You are wearing your headphones a little bit like a rock star. But that's okay. It works. Welcome back to the city council.
Well, thank you. Yeah, last time we talked was last August or September. Or
yeah,
something, I think.
As you were
running for it. Right.
And you had a nice victory there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And just appreciate your experience as a council member past. And you always bring the history of a subject and how it's come to fruition or how it's come to a point where it's at. And you can explain that very well and in detail to people, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
There's a saying that there's nothing new under the sun, and I would say that 90% of what we do is very similar to something we've already done in the past. So you are right.
Well, we got a new one, though. You know, let's go right after the parking garage. Mm-hmm. Proposal or a resolution or a thought that the city might look at selling it.
Yeah, that was on the docket for second reading, and it was passed. It was not a unanimous vote to go ahead and put it on the market, see if there's any interested parties in it. The parking garage is built back around 2001, 2002. At the time, it was a monumental effort on a part of a group here in town that Karen Lavery was involved in, Brian Rogers.
What's the name of the garage?
It's called the Lavery Transportation Center. It's
there you go.
Proper name.
Yep.
And at that time, the Polaris still existed. It had people in it. And the university was on 2nd Avenue in the Chena building. And there was the projected use of it was going to be quite high. The courthouse was a partner in the building of that. And, of course, of the Northward building there, I mean, there was hopes that there would be a lot of use. In fact, the complaints were from the citizenry at the time is they thought, well, the courthouse and government will take it over the university and there won't be any public parking in there. And the committee always had the guarantee, no, that we will never see that happen. It's always going to be plenty of public parking. Well, there's always been plenty of parking in there. So that's never been a problem. But when the Polaris closed and the university moved, they lost two of the cornerstones.
Anchor tenants, yeah.
Yeah, and but, you know, we got into the finances of it the other night, and in the last 10 years, the subsidy that the city has had to put in has just gotten lower and lower. The actual subsidy in the last year was something like $70,000 for the whole year. That's it. In some years, it's been as low as about $40,000. which compared to the Carlson Center and other things is not bad. But, you know, it still, it does require a subsidy. If it was marketed better, if there's higher economic activity, if you can go after customers like Pogo, Pogo's a big user of the garage because they have their people that live locally park in there.
Mm-hmm.
They take them by bus on down to the mine, and they leave their vehicles there for a couple of weeks or so. So it works out real well for them. And there's other businesses that you would never expect to be using this thing on a continual basis, but they are. My guess is that nothing much will come of this request for proposals, because if you're trying to pen it out, there's a $2 million grant, federal grant, on the building that if the city were to sell it to somebody that want to turn it into a whatever they want to turn it into other than a parking garage, that $2 million needs to be paid back. And so whoever buys it is pretty much obligated to keep it for parking purposes.
Or pay $2 million.
Yeah. So,
along with the renovation.
And knowing that the cash flow isn't quite there for it and may not be for a long time, it, you know, from a business point of view, I don't know why anybody would really want to make an offer. So I think they're dreaming a little bit and floating this out there, but we'll see.
So the parking garage is operated by the Fairbanks Parking Authority.
Under contract, yeah, and that needs an explanation. The Fairbanks Parking Authority, also called Golden Heart Parking, is a nonprofit organization that was established by the city of Fairbanks. Many years ago, the two were more, you know, connected at the hip. But the accounting department at the city said, no, under the current accounting standards, national accounting standards, this needs to be a separate nonprofit. So it was spun off. It has to stand on its own 2 feet. Golden Heart Parking is revenue generated. They get no subsidy from the city. But they have a contract to run the parking garage, which is a kind of a win-win. So you have no city employees that work over there. It would be employees of the nonprofit. And they do the janitorial work in the structure, and as well as do the on-street enforcement, things like that. Manage the office for people that want to come in and rent a spot for a month or a year or whatever, do the leases. So they take care of it for the city. And it's been that way for about 20 years now.
Okay. So it's something that the city doesn't really have to worry about except for subsidy of the garage itself.
Yeah. The only time the city really gets involved if there's something that's structurally wrong, major repairs that have to be done, and then you get Public Works involved.
Someone breaks something in there, and we have to go through the video and determine who did it and why, and go knock on their door and say, come on, let's pony up here and pay for this.
Yeah, we had that the other day with the gate on 3rd Avenue. Somebody hit it, and we know who did it.
I know.
So we're going
to
go after the insurance on that. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you're open to the public, you're going to have problems like that. So.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. If you have a question for Council Member Jerry Cleworth, we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Yes, Taco Thursday is a thing, and it happens every Thursday at Big Daddy's. Big Daddy's serves up the most amazing chicken tacos, complete with shredded cheese. These chicken tacos are delicious and filling, and you can enjoy them for just $1.50 each every Thursday at Big Daddy's Barbecue. And don't miss out on those sides as well, including fries, okra, baked beans. The menu is full of great ideas and great value. We'll see you for Chicken Taco Thursday at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues, the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Big Daddy's.
Coming to Fairbanks Saturday, February 26th at the Spur, it's country star Granger Smith.
Sing along to my backroom song.
And special guest Earl Dibbles Jr.
And you got a dip and your lip, help me sing along. Is the country boy song.
Granger Smith with Earl Dibbles Jr. and Nashville singer-songwriter Kendall Marble.
Now I'm up down the lonesome, but I feel right at home. Cause I done grown accustomed to sinking like a stone.
This concert is Saturday, February 26th at the Spur. This is a full band show, and for details and to get your tickets, go to ericksonevents.com. That's ericksonevents.com. Granger Smith with Earl Dibbles Jr. and Kendall Marvel, Saturday, February 26th at the Spur, being brought to you by Coors Light, the Pita Pit, Clarion Hotel and Suites, the Spur, and Wild 94.3. This is an Ericsson Unlimited production.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich, here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
KFAR weather.
Clear skies and quiet today with daytime highs approaching 10 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 20 below. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 1 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently is 38 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Council Member Jerry Cleworth. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And, Jerry, we've got an awful lot of snow. I mean, just an awful lot of snow.
It's a council member's nightmare.
Yeah. I'm sure you received a lot of phone calls for it.
Actually, not that as many as you might think, but I remember when I was mayor, you know, if you ever wonder what kind of phone calls you get, I would say 90% of them had to do with streets, whether it's snow removal, getting it up before the spring so you don't have flooding in certain areas of town, potholes, and on and on. That's 90% of your calls. It is not police or fire or the other ones at all. It is almost always public works. That's the one that touches people the most and where they're concerned the most. Yeah, this winter when we had the rain, I remember sitting in my house going, oh no, because I knew we've had years like that before where the ice is there until spring and it just wreaks havoc with the
getting
roads.
Getting hard pack off is one thing, getting ice off is another.
Yeah, it's just... It's a mess. And my first year as mayor, we had an early rain, and that was when Wendell Street was tore up, and it turned it into mud over there. They hadn't repaved it before. It was a disaster. And I said, you know, don't ever start a project again and leave it as dirt before the winter comes. You don't have that luxury anymore because they just assume it'll freeze, it'll be nice and smooth. No.
No, it's not going to happen. You know, It's interesting, the public works budget and getting the roads plowed and how long it took this time. And then I was looking at a schedule of snow removal. And those are two different things, snow plowing and snow removal.
Right.
And it seems like they want to do snow removal first, and then get to it as they can, where my philosophy is go get it plowed, then go get it removed.
Actually, we have changed. Where I live out there in the Westgate area, they first came through with a blade, which is good, and that smoothed out the road where you had the bumps. Now, the road was still narrow. The snow hadn't been picked up, and sometimes it was only about a lane wide, but it was smooth. And that eliminates a lot of the complaints right there. You're not, bouncing up and down, hitting the roof of your car. And then the next time they came through, they widened the road. Still didn't pick it up. And then the third time they came through, they picked it up.
Good.
And it is, the first blade that goes through, we call it high topping. And for a while there, years ago, Public Works quit doing that. I don't know, the director didn't believe in it or whatever, but it is a really important thing to do. Second Avenue is where I got the most calls, and I happen to work there too, but it was one of the last streets to actually get high topped like that. And finally, we got the blade down there, and it smoothed it out because you could not drive down that street straight.
Yeah.
And then later on, they came and did the snow removal. But I think the grand strategy, I know Public Works is still working two shifts. So they're working a day shift and a night shift and have ever since the snowfall, which, as you know, as a council member, racks up the bucks.
Oh, yeah.
But we've always made sure that they get the funding to do that and they continue to do that. What I would like to do is when summer comes, let's have another work session on snow removal. I would like to make sure that we've got money to keep the blades, the graders, going, you know, on the weekend as well and supporting that, because that is so important, is to just get them smooth. We can come and get the snow later. Most people are, they understand we can't pick it all up in 24 hours. You just can't do it. So, and it takes some time to do that. But there are three areas in town where you are right. You have to pick it up. You can't just plow it. And that's Arctic Park, Island Homes, and Slaterville.
Yep.
You've got to get
narrow streets.
There. Yep.
Original subdivisions.
That's right.
And you don't have the 40-foot roads. You got the 28-foot roads, maybe, yep. with sidewalks. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. You still only get to park on one side of the road.
Yeah, even in those areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really tight.
Yeah, so that is true. How many police do you have on staff right now?
We've budgeted, the whole department is about 50 people, if I remember right. They're slowly adding to the police that we've been hiring. We're getting some, I've met a few of them the other day because we're working on contract negotiations, and some real neat people coming up. One family came up from Minnesota, and not much temperature, not much difference as far as climate goes. He just really loves it here, and he was a lateral hire.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having some luck with the lateral hires. We've got people in the academy. With the new contract, when I think we get it signed, it'll help us in recruiting, and it should help especially in dispatch. And as you know, we've had shortages of positions there, and that's a tough job, tough hours. But I think we'll be competitive, and I think the worst is behind us as far as fulfilling positions. But, you know, this is true everywhere. It's not just police departments.
No.
Any employer in town can tell you the same thing. It seems to be an employee shortage out there.
There is. I saw a friend of mine at a building inspection, and she's a bartender at a local establishment that her parents own, and she's been doing the cooking because of staff shortages. And in the downtown area, how many restaurants you see not open on a Monday or a Tuesday?
Right.
And there it is. Boy.
Yeah, it's different times. I think council member Lonnie Marty was talking that he was at, a job fair that had been put on the other day. And he said there's like only 39 people or something. So there's just not many people looking, apparently. I don't know. I think he was amazed that there were so few folks or something. And another trend, even in the city, we've noticed that you can bank your leave time. So if you don't take all your leave, you can bank it up to X amount of hours over a period of time. And you know, it used to be that people would bank it because when you bank your leave and it carries from year to year, as your salaries increases, your hourly wages increase with time, then it's almost like having a savings account.
That grows.
Yeah, that hour you earned 2 years ago is now worth more money. But we're finding that very few people do it anymore. It used to be extremely commonplace. But with the younger crowd, not so much.
Instantaneous recognition, or
they want that leave time. They use it.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really for, is to, why do you give leave? So people can take
refresh.
A rest.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it got to the point when nobody would use it, they're constantly banking it, that became a real liability, growing liability at the city all the time.
Very true. Looking at the trash, I saw where there were some accounts that are a little bit in arrears.
Right. Yeah, years ago, the city had the right to actually put a lien on a property. So as the months turn into years and they've never paid for their garbage collection.
I don't think that power has ever been abated, well, has it?
It was. It was after a while, we legally, under state law, I believe it was, it said you can no longer do that.
Okay.
And so the only hammer you had at that time then if somebody didn't pay is you just try to remember to shut them off. But, you know, the whole point in picking up the garbage and having unlimited bags and everything is to make sure everything's clean. Rather than throw it in your backyard or whatever, we encourage people to use the service, so to speak. But it's hard to have the guys in the truck going, well, these guys are 2 months in arrear. We can't pick theirs up, so we're just going to leave it here. And that's a difficult way to run it. But so in the past, we had that leverage of doing a lien, but we lost that. But it's been reinstated. It's back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because as a real estate broker, when I'm at a closing, I'm in the city. You know, that's a prorated item.
Right.
And so I'm on top of it. You know, a lot of people who never been on city council as a realtor, they're not looking at that cost, and I'm looking at, hold it now, we got to get this out of my client's name or into my client's name. And, you know, so all of a sudden you bring in a title company, and they're doing the background at the city, and, oh, no, they owe like 2 years.
Yeah.
And so I always use it as a great collection vehicle. And my thought would have been if this was an item that you did not have the police power on to collect that, well, guess what? You know, your finance department is working with a title company. That's just my thought.
Yeah, it's we've had talk about actually getting rid of the garbage fee and incorporating it into the property tax because essentially it's a tax.
Yeah.
People say, some people complain about it because they say, you know, I don't use it very much, and why should I pay the same as my neighbor who puts out 10 bags?
Yeah.
And I say, well, because, you know, the whole philosophy was we want you to use it and pick it up and get, don't keep it in the backyard or let it lay around, you know, clean up the city. And it's very difficult. If you go to a private company, then they will charge by the bags. And for us to sit there and count bags or whatever.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, and at 30 below or 40 below or whatever. So years ago when I was mayor, I floated an ordinance to try and incorporate it into the property tax, and I was soundly defeated on that.
I wasn't on the council.
You were, no, that was back about 2011 or something.
And
there was reasons. They had good reasons to defeat it.
On the council, you know, you raise that thing by a dollar. And, you know, there's two things you're going to get phone calls on. The streets and the increase in the fees, because a lot of people, hey, look it, I'm not here that often. And it's an on-site, on-mind issue. It's a quarterly $89 payment, approximately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here you go. And so, anyway, so, you know, maybe in the future I might revisit the putting that as a tax, or, you know, increasing it, because your road services in the borough or things like that, here you are.
The problem came in when we looked at it, putting it into a tax, is that you can't break out commercial from residential. And so, say our mill rate is 5 mils.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 5 mils for commercial, 5 mils for residential. You can't have a staggered rate. So the businesses complain. They say, wait a minute here. We're subsidizing the residential, and I still got to pay with this dumpster out here because we can't use the service. We have to have a dumpster. And they've got to legitimate complaint.
Yeah, that they do. But Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. I got a little bit of bumper music for you. The Black Crowes. I have no idea what this is. I'm not a Black Crowes fan. But then after that, we got some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials. And I'll be back after that with council member Jerry Cleworth.
Yeah.
KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden today authorizing the deployment of 1,000 U.S. troops in Germany to Romania, with another 2,000 troops moving to Poland and Germany. Pentagon's press secretary John Kirby says the troops are not being sent to fight in Ukraine, where Russian troops are amassed at the country's border.
They're going to ensure the robust defense of our NATO allies.
President Biden has said he will not put American troops in Ukraine to fight any Russian incursion. President Biden today with a new effort for the so-called cancer moonshot, a plan to reduce cancer deaths by 50% over the next quarter century.
The moonshot was first initiated in 2016 when the president was vice president, an issue deeply personal after the death of his eldest son, Beau, to an aggressive brain cancer a year earlier.
Fox's Jared Halpern on Capitol Hill. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An Alaska lawmaker says he is doing well after suffering what he described as a near-fatal heart attack last week. Republican Representative Ron Gilham of Soldotna says he began having discomfort late last Wednesday that he first thought might be indigestion. After he started sweating profusely, he says he knew something was wrong and his wife told him they were going to the hospital. He says the doctor at the emergency room in Juneau told him he had been within about 15 minutes of not making it. He says he was medevaced to an Anchorage hospital and had a stent put in. He says he was released Saturday. An Alaska man whose home was mistakenly raided by FBI agents searching for a laptop stolen from the U.S. Capitol during the insurrection has been chosen as the running mate for conservative Republican gubernatorial candidate Christopher Kirka. Paul Huper was introduced as the lieutenant governor candidate by Kirka at a rally Monday night in Wasilla. Kirka says he and Huper share a similar vision. The lieutenant governor in Alaska oversees elections. Huper says Alaska needs to start thinking in terms of independence from the federal government.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's all about local food with Fairbanks Foodies at 12:30. All shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
When it comes to your auto repair and maintenance, you have a lot of options, and it's hard to find an honest and reliable auto shop. That's where Pager Road Auto comes in, with providing their customers with honest quality service and reasonable prices for all makes and models. Offering an active duty and veterans discount on parts with a 3-year, 36,000-mile labor warranty, you just can't go wrong. Stop into your locally owned and operated Pager Road Auto Repair today at 1904 Pager Road, a proud Napa Auto Care facility, or call 479-6162 to book your appointment today.
Hey Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage 1 alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at fnsbairalert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Councilmember Jerry Cleworth. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
You had either an ordinance or a resolution before you in regards to, it was an ordinance, I believe.
It was an ordinance, yeah.
That the giving the broadband powers to the from the city of Fairbanks, bequeathing them to the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And when I saw that, I was like, don't do this. Just don't do this. You don't give up powers. And sounds like you guys did not give up powers. Good job, Jerry.
Well, yeah, that was a strange turn of events. Back 10 years ago, they asked for us to transfer power so they could form IGU, the gas utility, as you remember. And so this is the second time now that they have asked. But when I first saw that, I thought it was a good mechanism to correct a wrong that our councils has unanimously in the past felt. And that was when the borough took back a power to exercise as Fairbanks City Council as the appeals board for Planning Commission appeals. Mm-hmm. That's always the way, as you remember, for decades it's been, until the year 2016 when we met our Waterloo.
The Chugach School District, when they put the school on Well Street.
Yeah.
And they were trying to say, well, it's okay in residential zoning because it's a school. And this is, this is, like we said earlier, this is a location where you don't plow. You have to remove the snow because you don't have a tight enough road. Yeah, I remember that very well.
It was a tricky deal, and the residents had appealed the decision from the Planning Commission. And so the City Council sat as a Board of Appeals, and we ended up reversing the Planning Commission's decision. But the irony of that is the Planning Commission had originally ruled the same way we did.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a 30-minute break at that Planning Commission. We read the minutes. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, yeah.
They had a 30-minute,
which skullduggery is involved.
Really unusual. You usually take a 10-minute break.
The skullduggery involved.
So you know something's going on behind the scenes that the public, that neighborhood, the residents of Slaterville, did not hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back, and they moved to reconsider. And the motion to reconsider passed, but all that does is put the original motion back on the floor for discussion. They never took that second step. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, yeah.
So technically, they never acted on it.
They said that it passed.
Yeah.
They passed a motion of reconsideration. They said, we've passed this now, and then they adjourned.
Yeah.
And we're looking at this and saying, this is why you have us.
So anyway, it ended up in our laps. We ruled in favor of the residences, which was basically backing up our public works and our engineering departments, which were opposed to it also. It just was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, and do you also remember we were in that to do with the borough over naming Terminal Street?
They wanted to name it. Yeah.
People's Way or something.
Yeah,
like
and they came in and said, and our old chief of staff came in and said, people think they're going to a place that die, And we started laughing. Jim, really? Come on now.
Because Terminal Street is the historic name of the street because that was the railroad terminal at the time where it ended there. And all the historic community showed up. Remember the meeting was crammed with people because they didn't have an opportunity to speak on it over at the borough. So they came and we said, no, we do not want to change the name of the street. We want to honor the history of the area. And those two things just really got the mayor, borough mayor at the time, Carl Castle, really upset. And so he said, well,
a good person, but this was not a good moment.
We're going to get even with the city and we're going to yank both those powers from them. They'll no longer hear appeals and they have no right to name streets.
Yeah, in the city.
So he rethought the street one and that was taken out of his ordinance. But the other one unfortunately passed. And I am a big believer, people are intimidated by government. I don't know if you've ever testified in the early years, but getting in front of an elected body is not fun.
No, yes, I have, and you're absolutely right. Yeah. If you don't do it often or with repeat, time frames.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
It is, and you're a little bit slow and choked up, and you want to say something, and you might not. And your cadence of your speech patterns are a little bit higher and a little bit off, and so it's just the nature of the beast.
So when people went to the Planning Commission with a rezone or a conditional use permit or whatever you guys used to see, because I know you used to sit on that board.
Yeah, 8 years, 2 years as chair.
It's usually going to be in contradiction to what the neighborhood might want or what the borough staff wants. It's always a little bit confrontational.
Yeah.
And so if you lose at the Planning Commission, the appeal would be to either the borough assembly, if you live in the borough, or to the city council. So you're going to appeal it to really a body of your peers, so to speak, kind of like a jury system.
Yeah.
If I were doing an appeal, that's who I want to go to. I don't want to go to a staffer who has a strong opinion one way or another.
Of the executive branch of the borough government who is saying, this is how you're doing it.
That's right. It becomes more dictatorial and you've lost your input with
the
government.
It's not a true appeal.
Anyway, they took that away from us, and we thought, okay, they're asking us for broadband powers to be given to them. I thought this would be an excellent way to correct the wrong, and okay, you're asking for powers, we would like one back. We're not even asking for a new one, we want it just reinstated that we used to have. And they didn't like that, apparently. And
the borough?
No, the borough mayor came and testified on Monday night to it, and that's how the ordinance was when we had it in front of us, was, yes, we'll give you these powers, but you have to give us something in return, reciprocity. And he said, well, you know, we can look at that, but it won't be like you remember it. It'll be some other hybrid. And I thought, well, we're not going to change this at all. But then it went in a totally different direction than I thought, because the motion was, we had to, legal department said, since we amended it that way, we had to re-advertise it, showing that this is a two-part deal. I said, fine. So I had a substitute ordinance there to re-head the thing, for Pete's sakes, and then it had to be postponed 1 week. So my motion was substitute the ordinance. It's, that passed. Then the motion was to postpone for until the next meeting. And then Councilmember Gibson said, I amend that motion to be postponed indefinitely. And that passed. And that surprised me.
He tabled it, yeah.
That passed, and it got in front of us. And then ultimately it passed. And so I guess it's done.
Tabled.
Tabled.
Yeah.
I sometimes I'm surprised.
Well, you know, I looked at that and I said to myself, okay, with the nature of the federal government and their infrastructure bill, there's probably some good revenue generation that'll be coming into municipalities to do this, to increase broadband. So why would you give that opportunity to control the area in the city when we have good engineers, we know what we're doing, we do the streets, and then there's going to be revenue associated with it. You don't give that up. And then I thought of, remember IGU when it first formed?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it was, literally a few months from being bankrupt until they were able to buy Fairbanks Natural Gas. I mean, they were, and have a cash inflow and have an existing business that was basically given to them by ADA. I mean, that was their last time in a looking at having a utility. And so sorry, Fairbanks North Star Borough, I don't trust you.
Well, the input we had industry-wide from those in the know, and broadband is definitely not my strong suit, but said that you do not want to do this. And,
yeah.
And they were very factual and very detailed in why. Councilmember Gibson said essentially the same thing. He said in a year or two, this thing's going to solve itself.
Yeah.
I don't know all the intricacies of it, but all the input, with the exception of one email I got, were in opposition. I was kind of surprised about that. And then I talked to engineering. They said, you know, if this is nothing more than pass-through money, if the borough was hoping to set itself up as pass-through money, like what we do with the wastewater utility, to take advantage of some federal monies, the city could do that just as easily as the borough could.
So. Exactly. Don't give up your revenue stream.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take our final commercial break. If you have a thought or a question for Council Member Clayworth, rather, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Getting back to normal. It's what we have all been wishing for. Car inventory at Affordable Used Cars has bounced back too. The staff has worked hard to find the best deals and has the fastest growing, largest inventory in the state. If you're searching for a new used vehicle and cannot afford the over-the-top price tag or have to wait for a new vehicle from the factory, drive one home today from Affordable Used Cars. Better selection, better value. Affordable Used Cars at 2525 South Cushman.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
Are you ready to look good and feel great? Because this coming Friday's 50-50 deal is from Fairbanks' number one tanning salon, Turbo Tans. Get a certificate for 200 minutes of tanning half off. That's 200 minutes for booth and bed tanning. That includes levels 1 through 5. That That's 200 minutes that can be shared, split, or transferred. The only tanning salon that's willing to do that for you, Fairbanks, is TurboTans. So this Friday, get your 200-minute gift certificate valued at $200, yours for only $100. That's half off. That's this Friday for TurboTans and 50-50 Friday.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. Tire pressure is key to safety, fuel economy, and long tire life. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Clear skies and quiet today with daytime highs approaching 10 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 20 below. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 1 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently is 38 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prues in the studio here with Councilmember Jerry Cleworth. You enjoying yourself?
Yes.
Ready for it to be warmer?
That's a definite yes.
You're positive, okay.
Yeah, at least it's not 40 below. Like, I remember much colder winters when I was a kid. Do you too?
Really? Yes.
Early 60s?
Mid-60s, late-60s, early-70s. You know, I the funniest thing I remember is being at Denali School and how they would not let us out for recess if it was 20 below or worse. And, you know, like 30 days in the hole, I felt sorry for that teacher, our teachers, because we're in our classroom for our recess, we're in our classrooms for our lunch, and our recess after that. And then they start putting on the TV, and we start watching game shows, you know, just to give the teacher some rest from us.
You know, I went to Denali also, and across the street, do you remember the house that has the upside-down roof? It's a two-story
home.
Yeah. That was originally built as a church manse, and our family lived in that because my dad was a pastor back then. Mm-hmm. And later on, when he was no longer a pastor, the next pastor that came was living there, and one Sunday morning he was talking about being in Alaska, and he said it was one of those 40 below nights or something. And he said, I was lying in bed and I'm hearing this screeching noise outside, and you know when cold weather sound travels.
Yeah.
And he got up to look out, and over on the playground is some kids swinging in the swings.
Yeah.
At 40 below. He said, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, even at 50, 60 below, my mom would get so mad because I bundle me up and send me out. You know, I got to get away from you too, Mom. Just the way it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's been interesting. I'm a budget person, and I'm a capital budget person too. And it seems like the capital budget has taken a hit over the last 4 or 5 years of the city.
It has. Not too many years ago, when you first got on council, and prior to that, when a budget was presented, there was always somewhere around $1 million that was going to be transferred to capital.
Yeah.
Because the only way our capital gets money is we get some from the permanent fund, which I think is around $600,000-$700,000 a year.
Yeah.
That goes in automatically. And then each department of the city has to allocate some funds for the equipment that they need. So the police department is not a capital-intensive department, but they do need a police car now and then.
Yeah.
So you put
and your dispatch
money
needs
that.
Equipment.
And dispatch needs equipment
and
every
your,
10
and,
years.
And your fire department, they need upgraded equipment too.
That's right. So and they
your,
have to
your,
put some
your graders,
in.
You know, God.
And then we would get lots of money from Juno to do road projects, which would free up capital for other programs and the things we had. But that amount, that $1 million, is long gone. That disappeared when we had a tough time balancing the budgets. And now that's why I had a real consternation with that new ordinance that passed that mandates that we use some of that surplus each year.
Because that's what we would take, the surplus from each department budget that wasn't spent, and would sweep that and put it into capital. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only source of extra money we have anymore, is the hope at the end of the year, we finish the year in the black,
yeah.
And then you can use some of that money to transfer over to capital. And amazingly, people didn't like us doing that. Do you remember that?
Yeah. We're hurting nothing, but we're not budgeting you out of capital in the beginning. If you don't use it, you know, you don't lose it, we put it in the capital.
So anyway, the night I was sworn in October, there was an ordinance before the council to start automatically spending that extra money each year, which is something I have fought and resisted for a long time, because people see a puddle of money and they want to do something with it other than its intended purpose, so to speak. But so they established called an employee incentive plan, but it's not like any EIP that any of your listeners are aware of or anything I've ever seen before. And it essentially said that each department, if you have money left on the table from salaries and wages, not from anything else, but from those two, then at the end of each year, we're going to allocate some of that for a bonus. And it can be anywhere from 0 to 50%. I mean, it was really wide open-ended like that. And I testified, I said, first off, you're putting the council in a horrible position here, because from 0 to 50%, if they feel that the budget is tight and they want to transfer to capital, then you're going to get flack because you didn't give a bonus. And now that you're constantly establishing this, it becomes essentially an entitlement that people expect every year. We've never had that before, as you know. The only time we do use bonuses was usually to correct a problem. And I've authored some myself.
This is automatic now.
Where this becomes automatic.
Yeah.
And
you're taking what we used to spend in capital.
And you're spending capital money to do it. And it's not an EIP in any sense of the word. It's just a bonus program. So the title gives you an impression that you're trying to do something to incentivize employees to stay. Mm-hmm. So you have this program that grows some money over the years. And so if you stay X amount of years, you get a bigger bonus or more money, so to speak. It's not set up that way at all. It's just a lump sum payment.
You know, I've thought of this and I said, you know, if you're crafting a budget and you just want to get around this and not ever have to worry about it, you're taking your employees and saying, okay, instead of having 50 police officers budgeted for, we got 40, and we're going to budget for 40.
Yeah.
And then when we need, you know, and that's our established budget. And then when we're going to have a higher reserve. And then what we can do is when we need more money, we can budget more from our reserve.
Yeah.
And we avoid the
you don't pay anything.
Yeah.
And this is the problem I have. When we do a budget, I want to show the general public how many positions we have funded, like in the police department's a classic example. Yes, we have funded these. We have not made cuts. No, we haven't filled all the positions. But the idea was to give the police department and say, we're not getting rid of these positions.
No.
We're not taking them out of your budget. This is our goal, is to get you help. And you're absolutely right. To beat that bonus system, we could just not budget them and only budget them when they get filled.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Councilman Jerry Cleworth, and your name is?
Hey, David. It's Will Staff here in Fairbanks.
Will, how are you doing?
Oh, another day at 35 below.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah. Hey, I got two real quick questions. So, Jerry, I was thinking of the salary bonus stuff. I mean, it seems like, you know, you're correct, and that's going to just become the expectation over the years that vacant positions are just going to be doled out in bonuses to current employees. And I don't think you can turn that clock back once you go down that road, you know. But I'm actually more curious about the parking garage issue. And has the city identified any potential buyers for that property?
No. It's just going to be basically a request for proposals. You know, if you wanted to buy it, then you can.
Let's see what you want to do.
You can send us respond to an RFP, and that's it. So no, there's nobody in mind whatsoever that I've heard of.
Okay, so does the time, is there like a time stamp, or are you guys just going to indefinitely try to sell that building?
Well, normally when you do an RFP, you put a deadline on it.
Yeah.
But like I said at the meeting the other night, I said, you don't even need to go down this path. Anyone can approach the city and say, hey, I'm interested in buying that building. Here's what I am proposing, and the council can take it up. That's true with any city property. whether we have it listed or not is immaterial. Anyone can come to us and make an offer or say, I would like to buy it. And then if the staff think it's good or the council thinks it's good, they can proceed along those lines. And we've done that in the past with city properties.
Sale leaseback.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Will. You have a great day, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we do that with utilities.
Yeah, we take property back sometimes through the borough tax foreclosure, and you get pieces that the city can't use that stuff. You know,
yeah.
There's a weird track out in the middle of nowhere or whatever, but in a subdivision where it's surrounded by other property. We've had some property
that. It's a 4,000 square foot piece of property with a 1938 beat up, decimated structure.
So you're hoping that the neighbors will come to you and say, you know, city, I'd like to buy that property. And you try and work with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does get interesting. And that bonus situation, be it as it may, whether, you know, you can always budget for bonuses or do that, what we've done in the past. You can always give a bonus. But when you have an automatic formula.
And this formula is extremely discriminatory. So
yeah.
You've got some people that will get no bonus. And I use the example of salaried employees and some of the smaller departments. You don't have vacancies like you're going to have in a bigger department. So there's not going to be any salary savings.
Yeah, building department.
Year.
Did they even get one?
I don't know. They might have had a little one.
There's five people there.
So you get some that get absolutely nothing. Others that get thousands of dollars. And I go, this is, you know, if I were one getting nothing, even though I try to be open-minded and fair and all that, that would irk you.
Yeah, there you go. It unique in itself. How's the new chief of staff doing?
I feel sorry. I mean, the hardest thing to do in life is take a new job, and no training on it. He has to walk into labor negotiations and all the other headaches and hit the ground running. I think he's doing great. I've sat in on, along with Councilmember Marnie, on the police negotiations, which I think have gone real well.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to have, you know, gotten up to speed very quickly. We have other staff that's helping on the negotiating team that are extremely knowledgeable. And
I would think your CFO is on there.
And we've got...
she's an exceptional person.
Head of our dispatch center, Christy, and she's extremely knowledgeable on both police part and dispatch part. And so it was interesting during the discussions because something will come up and say, well, we'd like to do this. And she said, well, you can do that, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
And go into the history of it. And it just go, wow, you know, to the intricate details. She's got the knowledge and other people have the same. So,
including you at times.
Well, not to that depth that she has, but I do on some of the union negotiations. I actually enjoyed negotiating, with the exception of one union, but back when I was mayor, because it was, you know, here's a problem. Let's see if we can't come up with a solution.
Okay. Well, we got about a minute left. Any closing comments from you, sir?
No. Just waiting for the weekend when the temperature goes up.
Yeah, and hopefully no more snow.
And no more snow, yeah. I crawled up on my garage roof this weekend and putzed around removing a few pounds up there. I don't know if I'm accomplishing anything or not, but it can't hurt.
You know, my theory is, as you come into New Year's, you're going to make a resolution to get back in shape. And boy, I didn't have to start that because I started my New Year's resolution a week in advance with all the snow removal that you're doing on your driveway, your deck, your front porch, your walkway. You know, I was feeling pretty good.
Yep, takes a lot of energy, especially when you're getting pushing 70.
Jerry, Mr. Cleaver, thank you for being on the show. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you on Friday.
Thank you, Dave. Okay.